This episode of 365 Days of Astronomy is sponsored by the Voyage National Program.
You are about to listen to the 365 Days of Astronomy podcast.
What do they talk about?
Astronomy, you know, stuff that's far away.
How far?
Well,
this stuff is far.
It's really far.
This stuff is far, far, far away. We're talking far.
Like uber far.
You can't get there by car today. It's super duper crazy far, but not just pulsars, quasars, and stars. We mean it's far.
Far, far,
far, far. If there's some doubt, listen to a shout.
This stuff is far.
The IYA 365 Days of Astronomy podcast starts now.
Welcome to today's edition of the 365 Days of Astronomy podcast. I'm Bob Hershon, host of AAAS Science Update Radio and its companion podcasts. Today I am at the very exciting, tension-filled, energetic Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Laboratory in Laurel, Maryland, with the engineering and operations team for the Messenger spacecraft mission to the planet Mercury. And all the excitement here is because in just a short while, Messenger will skim by the surface of Mercury for the third time in the past 2 years. At its closest point, it'll be just 228 kilometers from the surface. And that's going to be in just about 1 hour, but already readings are coming in, the instruments have swung into place, and they're already recording information and sending back images. The actual images won't be seen by us until tomorrow, but we're getting some data back, and everybody's gathered around, and very excited, and of course there's a little bit of tension hoping that everything goes well. It's a very close approach, just 228 kilometers. So there's a lot of crossed fingers here. Now, Messenger is the first spacecraft to visit Mercury since Mariner 10, way back in 1975. Even though Mercury is really close to the Earth, it's extremely difficult to visit, and that's because it's even closer to the Sun. So any spacecraft that visits Mercury has to contend with the Sun's extreme heat and gravitational attraction. To get into orbit around Mercury, Messenger has to go through all sorts of gyrations to adjust its angle and speed. It was launched over 5 years ago in August of 2004. A year later, it flew by Earth, using the planet's gravity to sling it at just the right angle and velocity to complete two loops by the planet Venus in 2006 and 2007. That sent the craft into a path that would allow three flybys of Mercury itself, two of them last year and one coming up in just a short while. All of that maneuvering has been necessary to slot Messenger into the proper path to enter a stable orbit around Mercury a year and a half from now, in March of 2011. But during the three flybys, Messenger doesn't just sit tight. Its eight primary instruments and experiments swing into action, recording detailed measurements of the planet. The last two flybys already produced surface images of most of the planet, including the more than half the surface that Mariner 10 missed. They also sent back measurements of the planet's magnetic field, its gravity, and other readings that help scientists understand Mercury's composition and origin. Okay, and I have with me Jim McAdams, and what's your title?
Mission Design Lead Engineer for Messenger.
And we're about 10 minutes away. I think a lot of people, you know, lay people especially, would have this image of Messenger sort of zooming along like a flying video camera. But what is it actually doing right now?
Right now, it's approaching Mercury at a speed of over 5 kilometers per second, or about 3 miles per second. And they're preparing to do more imaging as they get past the close approach of Mercury. Just after close approach, they're going to be doing a lot of surface scans with instruments that don't image the actual surface, but they do mineralogy and other composition type.
Okay. And in the other room, I was looking at a video of it. It showed the actual spacecraft sort of moving around and doing all these gyrations. It was almost like a ballet. So what's going on?
Well, every single attitude is precisely planned, and this has been run through tests and simulations multiple times until they've got it just right. They have to make sure that the sunshade is pointed towards the sun during all this, and the solar panels are tilted so they don't overheat. And then there's all the various orientations the spacecraft has to achieve for the science measurements.
Wow. And does the whole craft have to turn to make those things point the way they need to point?
Basically, it keeps the large sunshades towards the sun, and then it rolls back and forth as the instruments have to point in different directions as it's looking behind Mercury, and then it turns and points the cameras at Mercury, and the cameras themselves can pivot and a range of about 90 degrees towards or away from the sun. So there's a lot of activity and thousands of movements during this flyby time.
Okay, and how far is it from the planet now, or about?
Right now it is 837 kilometers altitude and going down to a minimum of 228.
Wow, it's incredibly close. Okay. Looks like we're about 7 minutes away.
We're in eclipse right now.
Okay, a lot of the science team is coming back as we approach less than 5 minutes to closest approach to Mercury. We're at about 2 minutes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Exactly 1 minute to closest approach.
Down to less than a minute.
All right. And what's that yellow dot line? That's the altimeter?
That's the footprint of where the laser is hitting the surface. And it's moving across the surface pretty rapidly because the spacecraft is moving pretty rapidly at close approach.
30 seconds.
One second. So now we're at close approach.
All right.
Did you feel it?
I felt a breeze.
It's an emotional thing.
Right, right. I'd high-five someone, but they might get wet.
I don't see people jumping up and down or sighing with relief.
We've been through this before, and you don't lose contact, and you just, you know it's going to work.
And now it's already going away. It's leaving so soon. So when do we start getting actual information and pictures and everything?
That starts very late this evening, I believe between 11:30 and 12 o'clock midnight, local time here.
For those following along, we do have an unexpected signal drop that we're currently troubleshooting, so stand by.
We have a slight hitch. We have a signal drop that they're troubleshooting right now.
Yes, Messenger RF would like you to call them on a black phone. The extension here is 0324.
This is Messenger Ops with a status update. We're currently troubleshooting to see whether there's a RF configuration on board the spacecraft that may have dropped out the signal. We are coming up on a 51-minute blockage period of occultation, and when we come out on the back side, there are some onboard commands that switch the configuration, so we'll be looking for that next.
Earlier when they mentioned the black phone, you know, I don't know if you heard that, calling on the black phone, that was they were using another ground station to try to pick up a signal. They have redundancy, so they have other ways to search for the signal, and that came up negative too. So it was not a ground-based problem. It was actually that the spacecraft wasn't transmitting, apparently. So we have about 10 minutes before Mercury comes out of occultation, which is when the planet is actually in the way and we can't get any signal from it. But just a few minutes before it went into occultation, we lost the Doppler signal and it went dark. And the scientists huddled. They just came out of their meeting and they went through different scenarios that could explain it. And they came up with something to do with the orientation of the antennas, the radio antennas that send the signal back to Earth. And if they're right, it's going to be self-correcting, and when the spacecraft comes out of occultation in a few minutes, it will have repaired itself, and we should be able to get a signal. Okay, 23:00:19. Woohoo! All right. Signal has been restored. Signal's back.
Good.
Oh, yay!
This is Messenger Ops. We obviously have confirmation of the signal at the expected time, which confirms that the command load is still running nominally as expected. So we're back to the normal timeline, and we'll obviously have an investigation after we get housekeeping data several hours from now as to what actually occurred.
So I'm sorry, did we find out whether we lost any data, or they don't know yet?
As far as we know, the only data that was lost was a small amount of radio science data that was being collected to help do measurements of the gravity of the planet. As far as the other science measurements, we have no reason to believe the sequence hasn't continued as planned. So all the laser and other imaging and stuff like that, as far as we can tell, was collected.
Okay.
We'll know more when we get some housekeeping down around 9:30 or after 9:30 tonight, and we'll look into it and see. We're suspecting that the radio antenna, the RF antenna, did not switch as we had hoped it to do, but it doesn't affect the course of the spacecraft or the science collection at all.
Peter Bedini from the science team. So we're back to all systems go.
In the time-ordered sequence, what we got and what we didn't get. Everything.
Okay, now it's the next morning. It's September 30th, and we're back at the Applied Physics Laboratory, and we're getting a report from the various team members on the results of their troubleshooting of the spacecraft last night. The results weren't what they had hoped. Actually, it wasn't just a matter of the antenna not sending the signal and the spacecraft continuing to gather data. The spacecraft actually went into safe mode, which the easiest way to explain it is it's as if a circuit breaker was tripped. When the solar panels switched off and the battery power switched on because it was the spacecraft was in eclipse behind the planet, at that point, the fault protection tripped, went into safe mode, so the spacecraft is in good shape. There's no actual malfunction of any of the instruments, but it was not operating from a few minutes before closest approach till well into its departure when they were able to bring it back online. So that information was not gathered and was lost. The good news is that much of that was terrain that had been covered on the first two flybys and terrain that will be covered again when MESSENGER comes back in a year and a half and goes into orbit around Mercury. So there was a lot of redundancy built into this mission. But the good news is the spacecraft is in good condition, and trajectory is just exactly what they want. So that's what's really important. And behind me is Eric Finnegan. He is the mission systems engineer, and he's giving a rundown, a much more technical explanation of what I was just saying. And what's really cool is on the phone we have Bob Strom, who is a science team member of MESSENGER, but he's also the only scientist who is also a member of the original Mariner 10. That was 36 years ago. So it's very exciting for him, and he's participating in this meeting
same
by phone.
Piece of Mercury at all of those phase angles, and it covers the same phase angle range that we'll be using for orbital color mapping. So that's a partial recovery. Next. That's it.
Can you tell me, I missed the 11 o'clock conference. How is the spacecraft?
The spacecraft is nominal, and all the subsystems are fully functional. There was an issue with basically an onboard alarm limit that was tripped, and it caused the spacecraft to safe. It wasn't really so much a hardware problem as that the alarm limits were set very tight.
Okay, so now everything is functioning normally?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's good news. I'm just sick that we lost all of that high resolution coverage, but that's as long as the spacecraft is doing okay, that's all I care about.
Well,
I damn near had a heart attack when I saw that message.
So I'll take the liberty of paraphrasing Sean. We'll be back.
Good.
And that's it for today's version of 365 Days of Astronomy. This is Bob Hirshon signing off from the Applied Physics Laboratory in Laurel, Maryland.
You are listening to the IYA 365 Days of Astronomy podcast.
The 365 Days of Astronomy podcast is produced by the New Media Working Group of the International Year of Astronomy 2009. Audio post-production by Preston Gibson. Bandwidth donated by Libsyn.com and Wizard Media. Web design by Clockwork Active Media Systems. You may reproduce and distribute this audio for non-commercial purposes. Please consider supporting the podcast with a few dollars or euros. Visit us on the web at 365daysofastronomy.org or email us at info@365daysofastronomy.org. Until tomorrow, goodbye.